ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so far we covered the first 60 chapters. And in the previous two episodes, we have discussed Krishna's marriages with 16,108 princesses. And in today's episode, we will discuss the progeny of Krishna and the marriages of Krishna's sons and grandsons. And we will also discuss some pastimes of Lord Balaram. Based on chapters number 61 to 68 of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. In the 61st chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the progeny of Krishna. Krishna has 16,108 queens, and through each queen, Krishna begot 10 sons. So, each of these sons married, and they also begot several children. Like that, just the family of Krishna itself is so huge with thousands and thousands of members. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His family is also so vast. And Krishna had several sons and several grandsons. And Krishna's first wife was Rukmini Devi. And her son was Pradyumna. And Pradyumna already married Mayavati that we have seen in the 55th chapter, History of Pradyumna. And Pradyumna was the son of Rukmini. Similarly, Jambavati gave birth to another son named Samba. So Pradyumna also married Rukmavati. And this Rukmavati was the daughter of Rukmi. So Rukmi was the brother of Rukmini. And Rukmi has taken a vow during the marriage ceremony of Rukmini Devi. Krishna came and he has kidnapped Rukmini. Then at that time, Rukmi has taken a vow that I will get my sister back to Kundinapur, otherwise I will not even enter Kundinapur. So, but Krishna defeated Rukmi and gave him a very peculiar haircut and then left him on the way in the middle of Dwaraka and Kundinapur. And because Rukmi has taken a vow not to return to Kundinapur without his sister, so Rukmi just started staying there only. That place is called Bhojakata. And Rukmi had a son, had a daughter named Rukmavati. And Pradyumna, who was the son of Rukmini, he went to Rukmavati's Swayamvara ceremony. And he saw Rukmavati and he kidnapped Rukmavati in her Swayamvara ceremony. And later Rukmi came to know that Pradyumna was directly the son of his own sister Rukmini. So he gave Rukmavati in marriage to Pradyumna. So Pradyumna married Rukmavati and Pradyumna's son was Aniruddha. And Rukmi's granddaughter was Rochana and Rukmini's grandson was Aniruddha. So Aniruddha married Rochana. So out of his affection for his sister, Rukmi gave his granddaughter also in marriage to his sister's grandson Aniruddha. So during the marriage ceremony of Aniruddha and Rochana, there was a dice game that was played by Rukmi and Lord Balaram. So all these relatives were sitting there and there were other kings also who joined this game. There was king of Kalinga, so Rukmi, Balaram, and even Krishna was there, present there, Rukmini was there, so many other relatives were there. During the marriage ceremony, they were just playing dice. So in this dice game, so they were betting. So 100 gold coins, 1000 gold coins, like that they were betting. So in that dice game, Balaramji won and Rukmi cheated Balaram. He said that, no, you did not win, I won. Then Balaramji said, no, I have won, it's very clear, it's a very fair match. Why are you unnecessarily speaking lies? But Rukmi said that he spoke very insulting words. You are just cowherd men, you don't know how to play dice game. I have actually won. And then Kulinga started laughing. Then Balaramji became so angry. And a divine voice started speaking. The winner was Balaram and not Rukmi. And Rukmi ignored that divine voice and he still claimed that he is the winner. So Balaramji just took his club and then hit Rukmi and killed Rukmi in the marriage ceremony of his granddaughter. And then the king, Kulinga, who was king of Kulinga, who was laughing, he was also punished by Balaram. But Krishna did not speak anything. He just kept silent. So if he takes the side of Balaram and supports his activity, then Rukmini might feel bad that Rukmini's brother Rukmi died in the hands of Balaram. So Rukmini might feel bad. If Krishna starts supporting Rukmini, then Balaramji might feel bad. So Krishna just became neutral and he did not speak a single word. So in this way, Balaramji punished Rukmi and even king of Kulinga, who laughed at him and who insulted him. So that completes the 61st chapter. And in the 67th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the marriage of Usha and Aniruddha. So Aniruddha was the son of Pradyumna and Pradyumna was the son of Rukmini. Means Aniruddha was the grandson of Rukmini and Krishna. So Aniruddha already married Rochana and Aniruddha had another wife named Usha. So how that marriage happened is described in 62nd chapter. So there was a demon named Banasur. He was the son of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was that glorious personality who was blessed by Lord Vamanadev. And Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. He was blessed by Narasimhadev. So Banasur is coming from a great lineage of great devotees. This Banasur had 1,000 hands. So once this Banasur played Mridanga with his 1,000 hands and pleased Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was so happy, he did Shiva Tandava in response to the drums played by Banasur. So Banasur used to stay at Shwanitapur. Being pleased by Banasur's devotion, Lord Shiva blessed him and Lord Shiva agreed to stay at Shwanitapur as Banasur's protector. So whenever Banasur encounters a calamity, Shiva is obliged to protect Banasur because he promised him. So now Banasur was staying at Shwanitapur like this and Banasur had a very beautiful daughter named Usha. And Usha had a dream and in her dream she saw a very beautiful young man. And she got up from this from her sleep and then started calling out, "Oh young man, where are you?" Then Usha had a friend named Chitralekha. This Chitralekha was the daughter of the minister of Banasur. So then Chitralekha saw Usha. "Usha, what are you speaking about? Did you have a dream?" Then Usha said, "Yes, yes, I have seen a dream. In that dream, I have seen a very beautiful young man. So I wish to accept him as my husband." So, and Chitralekha asked, "How does this young man look like?" And then she described the features of that young man. So Chitralekha knows the art of painting. Based on the descriptions given by Usha, Chitralekha started painting. She started making pictures. So she made pictures of so many young princes throughout the earth. And then she even made figures of yakshas and even devatas also. So of all the pictures, this Usha has seen the picture of Aniruddha. So Chitralekha has also painted some young princes of Yadu dynasty and she also painted Aniruddha's picture. Then Usha saw this Aniruddha's picture and then she said that, "Yes, yes, here is the man whom I have seen in my dream. I wish to have him as my husband." Then Chitralekha has some mystic powers. So she went and she kidnapped Aniruddha with her spell and she brought Aniruddha from Dwaraka to Shwanitapur, to the inner chambers of Usha's house. And Usha saw this Aniruddha and Aniruddha was also attracted to this Usha and Aniruddha started staying in Usha's house only. And some guards have noticed that Usha is staying with a beautiful young man. Then these ladies who were guarding Usha, they went and informed Banasur and Banasur came and then saw this Aniruddha staying in Usha's house. then Banasur became very concerned about his daughter, and then he wanted to fight with Aniruddha. Aniruddha, being a very powerful warrior, he also prepared to fight with Banasur. There was a small fight between Aniruddha and Banasur, but Banasur, being a very powerful demon, he effortlessly arrested Aniruddha. Aniruddha was a very powerful warrior, but still he was alone, and Banasur is coming with so many of his armies. So Banasur just arrested Aniruddha, and this news came to the Yadu dynasty. And Krishna has heard this news, and Balaram, Krishna and all the Yadu members have heard that Aniruddha was arrested by Banasur. So Krishna came with all the chief warriors of Yadu dynasty to attack Shonitapur, to attack Banasur. And Banasur was a devotee of Shiva, and Shiva had promised Banasur that I will protect you from all kinds of attacks. So Banasur was supported by Shiva now. Shiva was obliged to fight with Krishna on behalf of this demon Banasur. Actually, Shiva is more kind and affectionate and compassionate, and he would favor the devotees of Lord Vasudeva. The devotees of Lord Vasudeva are very dear to Lord Shiva. Shiva himself says that in the 4th canto, 24th chapter, 28th shloka. He says, Yah param brahma sasakshat triguna jiva samgitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannah sapriyo himi. Whoever worships Lord Vasudeva is very dear to me. Prapannah sapriyo himi. If you surrender unto Lord Krishna, then you become dear to me. That's what Shiva says. But sometimes Shiva takes the side of demons, or he gives blessings to the demons also out of obligation, and the demons also have to surrender to some higher authority. So they generally worship Shiva or Brahma. So it's not that Shiva and Brahma are in favor of the demons, but they are obliged to bless these demons sometimes just to gain control over them, and also in reciprocation with their austerities, and to stop their austerities, which will cause disturbance to different people. So now Shiva is obliged to fight on behalf of Banasur with Krishna, and Krishna is the worshipable master of Shiva. So, but still Shiva was obliged, and then there was a huge fight. So in this fight, so many personalities came, because Shiva took the side of Banasur, this Ganesha and Kartikeya also joined Banasur. And Banasur himself with his 1,000 arms and so many of his armies, accompanied by Shiva, Kartikeya and Ganesha. So they all fought with the great warriors of Yadu dynasty headed by Krishna. So now there were so many, and in this fight Krishna bewildered Shiva with a yawning weapon, a weapon that causes sleep. So Krishna bewildered Shiva like that, and then many other Yadu warriors were fighting with the party of Banasur. So at one point Krishna and Shiva confronted, and Shiva released his weapon called Shivajvara, and Vishnu means Krishna released his weapon called Vishnujvara. This Vishnujvara and Shivajvara started fighting with each other. So Shivajvara is very hot like fire, and Vishnujvara is very cool like snow. So they both fought with each other. So to be in fire is very difficult, and to be in snow is miserable. So they started fighting with each other, and Vishnujvara easily defeated Shivajvara, and then Shivajvara went and surrendered to Lord Krishna, and then Shivajvara was forgiven. So when Shiva's weapon was forgiven, so Shiva himself went and surrendered to Krishna. Before that, Krishna just cut the arms of Banasur. Banasur has 1,000 hands, and Krishna has cut all these 1,000 hands to humble him. He was very falsely proud. Then Lord Shiva went and offered prayers to Krishna and said that, my dear Krishna, I have given my word to Banasur, and if you can please show some mercy on him, that would be nice, because I have given my word to him and that I will protect him. So now that you are trying to attack him, can you please show some compassion? Then Krishna said, yes, I can be merciful to Banasur. I have cut his hands only to humble him. He is so falsely proud of his prowess. So to humble him, I have cut his hands. You can see that picture where Shiva is offering prayers to Lord Krishna on the battlefield. Then Krishna showed some mercy on Banasur, and Banasur also agreed to give his daughter Usha to Aniruddha in marriage. So Aniruddha and Usha got married. So this is how Kshatriya's marriage ceremonies happen. So sometimes Kshatriyas had lot of fights and quarrels also during their marriage ceremonies or Swayamvara ceremonies. Krishna also married some queens like Mitravinda and Bhadra while fighting with some warriors who were opposing him. So that completes the 63rd chapter. Now we will enter the 64th chapter. In the 64th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes a very beautiful incident where the young members of Yadu dynasty, Krishna's sons like Samba and other sons, they were playing in a forest, in a garden. So they went to a well and they saw inside the well a very huge, gigantic lizard. It's not like a normal lizard, so it's a very special lizard. So these young boys, young Yadu boys, thought that this lizard is poor lizard, it was caught up in this well, let us try to protect him, let us try to take him out of well. And they tried to take this lizard out of the well in various ways, but they could not do so. Then they all went and reported to Krishna. So Krishna has come there. So Krishna came and then he effortlessly took out this lizard from that well. And as soon as Krishna touched this lizard became a very beautiful young man. He got the form of a beautiful devata. Then everybody got astonished and Krishna asked, "Oh beautiful young man, who are you? Why are you staying in this body of an insignificant lizard like this? So what was your history?" Then when Krishna questioned this person, then this man said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. What is unknown to you, but still you are asking me? So I will reveal my previous history to you. I was a king named Nruga. So I used to be very charitable. And maybe you must have heard my name when people describe charitable personalities. So there were very great charitable personalities like Bali Maharaj and Shibi. Like so many big people were there. So Nruga also was considered very charitable. He would offer charity to Brahmanas. So once Nruga gave charity of so many hundreds and thousands of cows to a Brahmana. And somehow a cow of a Brahmana joined the herd of Nruga. Then Nruga, without knowing this, Nruga gave these cows in charity to another Brahmana. And later these two Brahmanas came to Nruga and said, "Nruga, my cow joined your herd, and without knowing that you have given my cow in charity to this new Brahmana, so I want my cow back." And the new Brahmana said, "Oh my dear Nruga, you have already given this cow in charity to me, how can I give it back to you? How can you take it back? I will not give my cow back." Then Nruga said, "Oh Brahmanas, I will give you," he asked the first Brahmana, "I will give you 10 million cows in exchange of this one cow. Please forget your cow." But this Brahmana did not agree. "I want my cow back." Then Nruga went to the second Brahmana and begged him, "I will give you 10 million cows in exchange of this one cow. Please return this one cow back to me." But the second Brahmana also did not agree. So both Brahmanas got displeased. And because of the displeasure of these Brahmanas, Nruga, after his death, he was taken to the abode of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj asked, "Nruga, you have done so many pious activities and you have also done one impious activity. You have done a great mistake of displeasing some Brahmanas. So now will you suffer for the reactions of your sinful activities first, or will you enjoy the results of your pious activities first? What do you want?" Then Nruga made a choice. Nruga said, "My dear Yamaraj, let me suffer for my sinful reactions first." Then Nruga was made into a lizard. So that lizard only was found by all the Yadu boys inside this well. And Nruga narrated all this story to Krishna in the presence of all the young members of Yadu dynasty, and Draga offered prayers to Krishna and circumambulated Krishna, and Draga actually understands the glory of Krishna and his divine spiritual position and transcendental situation. So Draga offered prayers to Krishna and then he went back to his next destination. He went back to the heavens. Then Krishna started speaking to the young Yadus. He took this opportunity to enlighten the Yadus on the dangers of taking a Brahmana's wealth. So a Brahmana's wealth is very precious. So one should not steal the wealth of a Brahmana. So Nrga has taken the cow of a Brahmana unknowingly, and still he had to experience this reaction. What if somebody steals the property of a Brahmana knowingly? So it is a very grave sin. For that one has to suffer a lot. So Krishna instructed all these all the Yadus about the glory of giving charity to the Brahmanas, the glory of being devoted to the Brahmanas, and also the dangers of accepting or taking away the property of Brahmanas. So Brahmanas are meant to be very respectable. So Krishna is known as Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So Krishna causes welfare to cows and Brahmanas. So that's why he is called Brahmanya Devaya. So when Brahmanas are offended, Krishna will not be pleased. So Nrga attained this reaction because of unknowingly causing some disturbance to some Brahmanas. So after this incident, all the Yadu boys were enlightened and they went back to their city, Dwaraka. So that completes the 64th chapter. Now we will enter the 65th chapter. In the 65th chapter, one beautiful incident of Balaramji is described. So Balaramji once wanted to go to Vrindavan. So Balaramji visited Vrindavan and he met his dear parents Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda were so happy to receive Balaram. So they were in separation, they were in extreme feelings of separation from Krishna and Balaram since the day they left to Mathura along with Akrura. So now Balaramji has returned back to Vrindavan to stay there for a few days. Balaramji actually stayed for 2 months there. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata felt so happy to see Balaram, and they said, "Oh Balaram, may you and Krishna always be kind to us and always protect us." So Balaramji reciprocated personally with his parents, and he also met different Vrajavasis, the Gopas and the Gopis and all his cowherd friends. He met all of them and he exchanged pleasantries, and he reciprocated with their love and affection and devotion according to their age and position. So, and after that, the cowherds inquired, "Balaram, my dear Ram, so how are your relatives? Are they doing well in Dwaraka? So it's good that Kamsa has been killed and all the relatives have found complete security in the absence of Kamsa and in the presence of Krishna and Balaram." So then some gopis came and met Balaram, and the gopis started inquiring about Krishna. "Does Krishna ever remember us? Does Krishna remember his Govardhan mountain, Yamuna river, and all the forest in which he used to tend cows? And how can city men possibly trust his words? City women? So he must have maintained some relationship with city women now." So like that, some gopis expressed their intense feelings of separation and love and affection and emotions towards Krishna, and they were feeling very morose in Krishna's absence. And seeing Balaram, they were relieved to some degree. And also Balaramji consoled these gopis by speaking to them some confidential messages given by Krishna to the gopis. So gopis heard the messages of Krishna and they were pacified to some degree. Then later Balaramji met some other gopis. So there were some gopis who were the consorts of Balaram, and there were some gopis who were the consorts of Krishna also. So Balaramji had met his gopis and he performed a rasa dance with his gopis. So Balaramji's gopis are different. So Balaramji performed rasalila. He met these gopis, and Varuna had sent this Varuni liquor for the pleasure of Balaram. Balaram enjoyed with his gopis drinking Varuni liquor, and then he called Yamuna. Yamuna, come here, I want to enjoy in your waters. But Yamuna did not come. Then Balaramji became little upset and became angry and said, with my plow, I will make you into 100 streams, Yamuna, if you are not coming. Then Yamunaji immediately came and surrendered to Balaram. Balaram, so please forgive me. So now my waters are there for your enjoyment. You can enjoy. Then the Lord played in the water to his complete satisfaction. So in this way, Balaramji stayed in Vrindavan for 2 full months and then he returned to Dwaraka. So that completes the 65th chapter. Now we will discuss the 66th chapter. 66th chapter of 10th canto describes the story of a false god. His name is Paundraka. So there used to be a king named Paundraka. He thought that he is God. He thought that he is the original supreme personality of Godhead Vasudeva. And out of his arrogance, he started claiming so. And some foolish people, foolish followers, as you are seeing in that picture, they also started believing that he is God, and they started encouraging Paundraka. Oh, you are God, you are the Supreme Lord Krishna, you are Vasudeva, you have all the symbols of Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. So, supported by such foolish followers, this Paundraka started dressing himself as Vasudeva. So, he was wearing a golden crown and he was holding a flute and he was wearing peacock feather. And he also had this weapons of Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, which he himself has created. And this Paundraka started thinking himself to be Lord Vasudeva. And this imitation god, this false god, had sent a letter to Krishna. So the messenger of Paundraka came to the Sudharma assembly hall in Dwaraka and read the message of Paundraka in front of Krishna, Balaram and other chief members of the Yadu dynasty. And the letter read that, oh Krishna, you are not the real Vasudeva. I am the real Vasudeva. I am the one and only Lord Vasudeva who have descended into this earthly planet to show mercy and compassion on common living entities. So I have incarnated here. And see, you are actually taking my personal symbols of Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. So I warn you that you must give up all these symbols. Give up all the Shankha, Chakra, Gada and all these things, and you should give up your name also. You should not call yourself Vasudeva. I am the real Vasudeva. I am the Supreme Lord. So like that, he gave a warning to Krishna only. And seeing such a foolish and ignorant, innocent message sent by Paundraka, Krishna, Balaram and all the other chief Yadus just laughed to their heart's content. So they laughed and the Lord replied to this messenger, O messenger of Paundraka, give my message to your king. Tell him that when you lie dead, then your face will be covered by vultures and herons and other birds, and you will become shelter of dogs. So you are claiming to be Lord Vasudeva and you are giving me a warning that I have to give up my symbols and I have to give up my name and I have to surrender unto you. And Paundraka even said that, if you come and take my shelter, I will show compassion on you also. So like that, Paundraka foolishly gave a warning to Krishna only directly. So such false gods and imitation gods, out of their ignorance and being supported by some foolish followers who want to follow created gods, so they ruin their lives. So they cannot walk on the spiritual path and perfect their lives. Instead, they unnecessarily attribute godhood to themselves and they consider themselves godheads. So they are not gods, but they unnecessarily claim themselves to be gods, and then they cheat innocent public and they cheat themselves also ultimately. So they deprive themselves of Krishna's mercy by claiming the position of Krishna. So such people used to exist even in Krishna's time, what to speak of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga also, there could be so many people who may claim that they are gods. So Krishna then thought of teaching a lesson to this Paundraka. So Krishna went to this Paundraka. At that time, Paundraka was residing in his friend's kingdom. So the kingdom was Kashi, Benares, Varanasi. So that Kashi Raja was a friend of Paundraka. So Pondraka and Kashiraja were there in Benares. Then Krishna went to Kashi to confront with this Pondraka. Then when Krishna went there, he called out for Pondraka. Pondraka, come here. So you have come. I have come to see you. Then Pondraka came out. So he was resembling Krishna in one sense, in his attire, in his dress. He was also wearing pitambar. He was also wearing a very beautiful golden helmet. He was also wearing a peacock feather. He was holding a flute. And he was having this Shankha Chakra and other created weapons. And seeing him so funny, and Krishna just laughed at him and then challenged him for a fight. Then Kashiraja also came to support this Pondraka. So Krishna killed Pondraka. Krishna killed Kashiraja also. And when Krishna killed Pondraka, out of his compassion, Krishna gave mercy. Krishna gave liberation to Pondraka. Although Pondraka was a false god who was imitating Krishna, who was even challenging Krishna, but Pondraka, by thinking himself to be Krishna, he was constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. He was thoroughly Krishna conscious. By imitating Krishna, he became Krishna conscious. So we are not supposed to become Krishna conscious by imitating Krishna, but we are supposed to become Krishna conscious by following Krishna's instructions and performing devotional service unto him. Nevertheless, Krishna is kind enough to show some mercy upon this Pondraka also, who imitated him. And in his attempt to imitate him, Pondraka was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So thus he became Krishna conscious, and so Krishna became very compassionate on him and he gave him liberation. And Kashiraja, who was not Krishna conscious, who was just inimical towards Krishna. It's not that Kashiraja got totally absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna while being against Krishna. So there are some demons and negative personalities who have either anger or envy or fear seeing Krishna. And if their negative feelings lead them into a very deep absorption in Krishna, Krishna will be liberating them also. But if one's negative feelings do not lead one into complete absorption in Krishna, one will have to suffer that sinful reaction. And one might have to go to hell also. Now Pondraka got liberated and Kashiraja got killed, and Kashiraja's head went into his kingdom, went into his palace. Then Krishna returned back to Dwarka after killing Kashiraja and this Pondraka. But Kashiraja had a son named Sudakshina. So this Sudakshina wanted to take revenge for the death of his father. So this Sudakshina worshipped Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva asked him, "What do you want? Why are you worshipping me? Why are you performing such severe austerities to please me?" Then Kashiraja's son Sudakshina told Shiva that I want a benediction. I should be able to kill that Krishna, the killer of my father. Then Shiva found it very impractical, but nevertheless he is obliged to fulfill the desire of Kashiraja's son Sudakshina. He said, "My dear Sudakshina, you should perform a ritual and get Dakshinagni fire. And this Dakshinagni fire, which is actually a fiery creature, so you should direct that fiery creature towards your enemy. And if there is any discrepancy in this whole process, then that fiery creature which is created by Dakshinagni fire, that will come back to the person who has released it and then destroy him only." So then Sudakshina just did some rituals, and then he created Dakshinagni fire, and that Dakshinagni fire went and attacked Dwaraka. And all the Dwarakavasis came to Krishna saying that, "Oh Krishna, some fiery demon is coming and attacking us. Please help us." Then Krishna came out, and with the prowess, with his Sudarshan Chakra and with his own prowess, he counteracted this Dakshinagni fire and he defeated this fiery demon. And according to the condition set by Shiva, this Dakshinagni fire went back to Sudakshina and killed Sudakshina and destroyed Kashi, Varanasi city only. So that completes the episode of Pondraka. So we completed 66 chapters. Now we will enter the 67th chapter. In the 67th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes how Balaramji killed a demon in the form of a gorilla. So his name is Dvivida. So Krishna killed Narakasur, and Narakasur's friend was Dvivida. He was a gorilla. So Dvivida became so upset with the death of his friend Narakasur. So demons have demon friends only. So this Dvivida wanted to take revenge of his friend's death, Narakasur, and then he went to different cities and villages and other mines and started setting fire there and creating a lot of disturbance in all these places. And he churned the ocean also and submerged villages into this ocean. So he started creating havoc in all directions, and he started disturbing innocent people and killing them also. And he started throwing men and women into caves. He would arrest them unnecessarily. So once Dvivida, while doing all these destructive activities, Dvivida once reached a mountain called Raivataka Mountain. So on that Raivataka Mountain, Dvivida heard some sweet singing of some women. So on the Raivataka Mountain, Lord Balaram is enjoying his pleasure pastimes with some ladies. So then Dvivida came there, and he has heard this song, and then he came to Balaramji and he saw all these women. And Dvivida, being a gorilla, so he started displaying all kinds of monkey deeds in front of this woman. He started insulting this woman. He used foul language, and then he started displaying his bodily parts in front of this woman. And Lord Balaram saw this activities, and this woman got really disgusted seeing this Dvivida, huge gorilla. And Balaramji wanted to teach a lesson to Dvivida, and then he started fighting with Dvivida. And this Dvivida uprooted different trees, sala trees, and then threw against Balaram. And Balaramji had great strength. He could easily counteract all these trees sent by thrown by this Dvivida. And then the fighting went for a while, and finally Balaramji killed Dvivida gorilla. So that completes the 67th chapter. Now we will enter the 68th chapter. So 68th chapter describes the marriage of Krishna's son Samba. So Samba was the son of Krishna and Jambavati. And this Samba's marriage is described in 68th chapter. So in Hastinapur city, Duryodhan was getting his daughter married in a Swayamvara ceremony. So in the Swayamvara ceremony of Duryodhan's daughter named Lakshmana, Samba went, and Samba kidnapped Lakshmana, and then he wanted to run away from Hastinapur. So it's natural for princes in olden days to go and kidnap a girl from Swayamvara also. So then when Samba was trying to kidnap Lakshmana, then all the warriors of Kuru dynasty, all the elder members of Kuru dynasty came forward, and they started fighting with Samba. And Samba, although he's a very young man, so he fought with all these big warriors like Duryodhan, then Bhishma, and many other warriors were there. So he started fighting with them, and these Kuru warriors really appreciated the prowess of Samba and his courage. But nevertheless, they are so many, and it is their place, and they could arrest Samba and held him in captive. So this news came to the Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka. Then Ugrasena became very upset. So these Kurus have arrested our Samba. So let us go and teach a lesson to these Kurus. So let's gather our armies and then attack Hastinapur. Then Balaramji did not like this idea. So Balaramji felt that, why should we have unnecessary quarrel with Kurus? So Kurus and Yadus are close friends, and their relatives also. So why should there be any unnecessary quarrel? So let us go and have a peaceful negotiation with them. And if they release Samba, we will continue our friendship. And if they don't release Samba, then we will teach them a lesson. Why to unnecessarily go and attack and fight with them? So Balaramji made this plan and he went all the way to Hastinapur. And he had sent a message through Uddhava to return Samba. Then the Kurus started speaking in a very insulting manner. So they said that these Yadus are subordinate kings. We Kurus are very superiors. So these Yadus are subordinate kings. How can they come and kidnap our girl? So they are supposed to be subordinate, and Ugrasena is like this. And then they started speaking quite... They minimized the position of Yadu dynasty, and they even minimized the position of Krishna in one sense. Then Balaramji became extremely upset with this behavior of Kurus, and Balaramji took his plow and he first started replying to the messages of the Kurus. So he said that, do you think that Krishna does not have the prowess? Krishna cannot counteract your prowess. Do you think that you are so great that you can stand in front of Krishna? And do you think that Ugrasena does not have the qualification to sit on the throne? So what do you think about you? And the dust of Krishna's lotus feet is the source of the holiness of all places of pilgrimage. Balaramji said, Yasyang Hripankaja Rajo Khilalo Kapalair Maulyuttamair Dhritamupa Sitatirtha Tirtham Brahma Bhavoham Apiyasya Kalaha Kalaya Shrischodvahema Chiramasya Nripashanam Kva. So Balaramji says that even Brahma and Shiva and great demigods also hold Krishna's dust on their heads. So Yasyangri Rang Pankaja Rajo Akhilaloka Palair. The rulers of different planetary systems would come and offer obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet, and they hold the dust from Krishna's lotus feet on their heads. And now you are saying that Yadus and Ugrasena and Krishna, and we have no qualification to rule, you are speaking in such a insulting manner out of your false pride. You don't like peace messages. So because we avoided war and we wanted to have a peace negotiation with you, you are insulting us like this. So Balaramji was still standing in the outskirts of Hastinapur only. Then Balaramji took his plow and he wanted to just throw the entire Hastinapur kingdom into the river Ganges. So he had that much power. He immediately took his plow. And I shall rid the earth of this Kauravas. So then when Balaramji started speaking like this with great anger, then all the Kurus realized their mistake and they came running. They came outside the Hastinapur and they fell flat at the lotus feet of Balaram. And they said, oh Balaramji, we didn't know your prowess. Please forgive us. Please forgive our arrogant words. So please don't cause any harm to Hastinapur city. They surrendered to Balaram and Balaramji was pleased. Then later, this Kuru surrendered to Balaram and they offered Lakshmana in marriage to Samba, Krishna's son. And Balaramji took Samba and Lakshmana and all the dowry and the gifts and the presentations given by Kurus, and he went back to Dwaraka. So even today also the city of Hastinapur is elevated on the southern side towards the Ganges because of Balaramji's attempt with his plow to take this city into the Ganges river. So in this way Balaramji showed his prowess. So Krishna's pastimes are so enchanting and Balaramji's pastimes are also so attractive. And Balaramji being the supreme personality of servant Godhead. So Balaramji is in the mood of a servant of Krishna. Whenever somebody tries to minimize the position of Krishna, Balaramji would immediately defend his younger brother. Balaramji was Lakshmana in his previous incarnation. At that time he had to follow the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra and all the orders of Lord Ram, and it was too painful for him to see Lord Ram suffering. Now he took the form of the elder brother of Krishna as Balaram, and he protects Krishna in various ways. So Balaramji renders service to Krishna in three rasas. One Vatsalya rasa, as elder brother, second Sakhyarasa as his dear friend, third in Dasyarasa as his servant. So in all ways, Balaram would render service to Krishna and he would defend Krishna. So in today's episode, we have seen how Krishna, we have seen the entire progeny of Krishna, and Krishna's son Pradyumna married Rukmini's daughter, Rukmavati, and then Krishna's grandson Aniruddha married Rukmi's granddaughter Rochana, and in their marriage ceremony of Aniruddha and Rochana, Balaramji killed Rukmi, and then later we have discussed other pastimes where the marriage of Usha and Aniruddha happened, and later we discussed about King Nruga and Balaramji's visit to Vrindavan, and later we have seen how Balaramji killed Dvivida gorilla, and also Balaramji taught a lesson to the Kurus. So thank you all very much, and in the next episode we will see further pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto, and Narada Muni's visit to Krishna's palaces, and many other exciting pastimes we will discuss in the next episode of Bhagavata Pravaha. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.